I got your attention in the media center. We are now joined by the Busch Pole Award winner for tomorrow night's race, and that is Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 FedEx Freight Toyota. If you have a question, we'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start with Reed and go to Jake.
Thank you. Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire. Based on practice, did you think you had a shot at the pole when you saw Larson's lap? Were you more or less confident?
Oh, I didn't know I beat Larson. I thought it was Martin. Perfect, even better. I was wondering why he's giving me the finger when I pulled in. No, that's awesome. We're about to go up and watch this Xfinity race in the stands, so nice. I didn't know what he ran. I knew we had a shot. The second practice, especially our car, was really good and had good speed front of the run, end of the run. So, yeah, I was confident as long as crew chief did his job and I did my job, we definitely have a chance.
Jacob?
There we go. That'll work. Okay. First pole of the year for you and for Toyota. Is that a relief? You know, what's the emotion there? Because it's been a struggle for the whole JGR camp a bit in qualifying this year.
Yeah, I mean, fortunate for us, you know, qualifying doesn't pay any money and it doesn't pay any points. And so it really hasn't weighed on us. I mean, obviously, with the aero package that we have, you can make your car on most tracks as fast or as slow as you want to, but you have concerns about racing after that. So we've really focused on, you know, making our cars race well, and that's where all the accolades come from. It's, you know, sure, you want to win a pole. That's obviously a big deal. You know, if you don't win a pole for your organization or manufacturer or yourself in a year, it's maybe it shows a little lack of speed, but I certainly knew that we've had race-winning speed all year long. Just things haven't, with the new qualifying format and all that, it's not been our focus. It's been race. So certainly we knew short tracks would be an opportunity where we could get that done.
Okay. Denny, Jeff Birchville, John C. Press. Just the current hot streak you're on, I mean, you're performing well on all types of tracks. And then to come here to Bristol, which is completely different than all the other tracks you've raced at and to win the pole, I mean, what's that say about this team right now?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just every track we go to, it's the same. It's fast, and I'm driving it to the best of my ability and working hard at trying to get every ounce of speed out of it I can, and it's working. Everything's just working right now really well, and so, I don't know. I don't know what in particular happened. I don't think anything really happened, but I know certainly that some of these racetracks are the ones that we've gone back to for a second time. And, you know, a lot of people talk about, hey, when we go back, we'll be better. But I think results have shown every track we've gone back to, we've finished first or second. So that means the crew chief's doing a really good job of listening to my comments after the races and making the car better.
Go next to Jeff, then to Nate.
Jeff Gluck from The Athletic. Obviously, I saw your comments on Twitter earlier about the high line. Have you gotten any more information on how that all went down since then? And what's your thought process on tracks, how much they need to communicate with drivers or NASCAR before you guys show up?
Yeah, I think the communication's been good. It's been good on all fronts. I mean, we actually talked about this racetrack as well. We didn't talk about the high line, but we did talk about the PJ1 application. I think it's very important that they get information from the drivers because ultimately we know what will put on the best race possible. We know, Achilles heels of racetracks where, hey, if we had this ability to go here, we could make more passes, or, you know, this was widened out or narrowed, we could put on a better race. And so I think the whole sport has done a great job of working together on that. And I think you've seen since we've been doing that over the last month and a half or so, that we've improved a lot of racetracks. Pocono was a prime example of that. Michigan, both Michigan and Pocono, if I believe, the passes were made by being set up on the outside, and those are tracks that are primarily one-lane, bottom-feeding tracks. And so they're really doing a good job of working with us. And as far as the top lane here, you know, they sent us a picture a few days ago of it, and it looked like it was just washed. And so I'm not sure. I think that they maybe brushed it like they did in years past, which is, I mean, I'm not sure it's just cleaning it. I mean, it's really kind of changing the surface a little bit. I think it's digging the rubber out of the pores of the track, and it's an applying, it's almost like, you know, getting the top layer of your skin taken off. It's more smooth. It changes the racetrack. So I think it just caught some teams off guard, all drivers off guard, but ultimately you'll see still a great race here that you've seen in years past. I think it'll be top lane's going to be dominant, I believe, by race end. I think you'll see it in the Xfinity race tonight. The top lane's going to come in, especially in 3 and 4, and you're going to have to use the bottom to pass lap cars. So I don't think it'll have any bearing on the race. I think it was more of, you know, some drivers were like, whoa, what is this? We weren't, you know, because they're caught off guard because we have been communicating so much over the last month and a half, you know, I've been giving all the drivers so many updates on, all right, here's what this track looks like, here's what, and we didn't really have that. So it was, it's okay, but it's fine. Each track president or owner can do whatever they want. They, I guess, put truck ramps out there if they want us to do jumps, if they want. I don't know, but we'll just, we're going to race no matter what racetrack we got.
Nate? Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. I got 2 bits. Just to follow up on that real quickly. So are there some instances where maybe SMI shouldn't even consult you guys, or if you guys say, like, I guess the Roval is what I'm thinking. Like,
yeah,
if you guys want the chicane one way and they say, no, we want it this way because it's going to be harder. Is that like an instance where it'd be different?
So harder is not always better. And that's one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is like, it's supposed to be hard. Well, it's not supposed to be impossible. Harder doesn't always put on the best racing. And harder doesn't always mean that the best driver wins. Harder just means that if you have a fast car, it's harder for you to make a pass, where traditionally, if you have a fast car and a good driver, you can make passes. But certainly, I mean, I love the change they did to the Roval, that chicane. Now we have a legit chicane in the back where, I mean, it was, you know, for lack of a better word, it was kind of janky, you know, what we had there last year. So, I mean, it was, this is a big, you know, investment by Marcus and his team to make it a true cornerback there. And so I'm sure all the drivers will say that going back, that is a big improvement for that racetrack.
And then I just want to ask your thoughts on Matt DiBenedetto is having a career season, and now he doesn't have a ride for next year. I mean, you've been in that position where
sports sucks.
It does, right? I mean, yeah. you've won a lot of races.
I.e. Matt Kenseth.
Yeah. Is it different? Is it changing for NASCAR drivers? Is it more difficult now than it was in the past, or because of sponsorship, or is it just this is always the way it is, and merit sometimes doesn't play in the role of whether you keep a ride or not?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm so blessed in my situation. I'm probably the last person you should talk to about that. I agree. I mean, results mattered, and they, you know, the thing is that when I came into the sport, there was 5 or 6 of us, me, Martin Truex, Clint Bowyer, Reed Sorensen, JJ Yaley. It was essentially the top 5 in points from Xfinity all moved up to Cup in the same year, and all in race winning equipment. And those days are dead. I mean, you look at the sponsors that were on our cars back then, and it was like, these are huge companies that were taking risk on unknown and relatively unproven drivers. And it's just not that landscape anymore. I think that the cost of racing had went up since that point, and income had gone down since that point. And so, teams are having to make more business decisions than ever today. But, you know, certainly I don't want to talk too much about it because I think my lucky stars every day that I have this company on my chest and they're there for 38 weekends of the year, and I don't know. It doesn't happen anymore. So to have the loyalty of a company like FedEx that has spoke openly about how the impact that they see sponsorship does from their race car, they see the value times 10. So if that company believes in it, I believe other companies should probably look at how they're modeling NASCAR or how FedEx is doing it and apply the business model accordingly.
Any additional questions for Denny? Well, Denny, congratulations on winning the Busch Pole Award, and good luck tomorrow night.
All right, thanks.
Yep.